Okay, so we will now proceed with the preaching. Praise God for another opportunity to stand before you to preach the Word of God. So Pastor Robbie is not with us today. He was invited to speak in Higher Rock today. So if you are wondering, he was still here yesterday afternoon. Yes, after the Ilaw activity, they went down to Manila, and he's now preaching in Higher Rock. And I was given the task to handle the preaching for today. It's a privilege to have butterflies again in my tummy. Let us pray. Our dear God, thank you for another Sunday. Thank you that as a family of believers, we can be gathered like this to feast on your truth. Thank you for the freedom that we have to study your word together. And Lord, today, as we study your word, prepare our hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, we need you to be able to understand your truth. Be our teacher, be our guide, be our wisdom, be our strength today. And whatever message you have for us today, we pray that you will make this message very clear in our hearts. And may our response be joyful obedience to your truth. And I pray for myself, Lord. I pray that you will use me today. Hide me behind your cross. Use me as your mouthpiece. Minister to my heart as well as I minister to your people. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have the privilege to continue with the series that we are doing every time I'm the one assigned to preach. So we're doing the series on the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches that the Lord addressed issues. And in the past letters that we have studied, we have seen some commonalities, and I have used this as my outline also. So we have observed that for the letters given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the first three churches that we have studied, it always starts with the correspondent, Jesus introducing himself. And then after that, he would now give his commendation, things that are praiseworthy for the church that he is speaking to. And after that, if there is something in that church that needs to be corrected, that needs to be rebuked, the Lord gives his condemnation. And of course, if there is condemnation, there is rebuke, the Lord will always challenge them to change, challenge them to repentance. And then we have the call, and we know that for all the churches that we have studied, the letters would always be primarily addressed for the children of the Lord. And then as these churches would now respond in obedience, the Lord promised his reward for them, the consolation. So for today, as we look at the fourth church, we're done with the first three, Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum. So for today, we will be looking at the fourth church, which is the church in Thyatira. Okay? And before we do that, let's just go very quickly with the things that we have studied so that for those who are joining us for the first time, for those who missed the first three churches when I discussed this, then this will be a walkthrough of the letters that they received. So for the first church in Ephesus, the Lord introduced to that church as the God who holds the seven stars, walks among the seven golden lampstands. In other words, the Lord was introducing to them, I am the one that holds the churches. If I want to disband this church, I have the right and I have the authority. For Smyrna, he introduced himself as the first and the last who died and came to life. Because the church was the persecuted church, the Lord was sending his comfort to them. By introducing himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I know what you are going through. I know the persecutions that you are going through. Rest assured, I am with you always. And then for Pergamum, he introduced himself as the one who has that two-edged sword. So it was a strong introduction to them because the Lord wanted to deal with their wickedness, particularly their worship of false idols and their sexual immorality. And then for the commendation for Ephesus, they were commended for they are the church that rejects evil, they are the church that perseveres, they are the church that are very patient. While for Smyrna, they were commended because even though they are suffering too much because of persecution, they are gracefully bearing all those sufferings. And then for Pergamum, the Lord commended them for they are a faithful church, they are a church that hold fast, they are a church that did not deny Christ despite their situation, that they were surrounded by temples of Satan. So yun po yung konteksto ng commendation ng Panginoon sa kanila. Then for the condemnation, for the rebuke, the criticism that the Lord gave them, for Ephesus, they lost their first love. They were busy serving the Lord, and yet they missed the love that is due their God. But for Smyrna, sana lahat ng church ganito, the Lord did not give any criticism to this church. But for Pergamum, this was the church who was holding to the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. In other words, they are the ones embracing false doctrines, embracing immorality, and embracing worship of false gods. Then for the challenge for Ephesus, because they lost their first love, the Lord challenged them, return to your first love. Repent and return to your first love. For Smyrna, though they were going through persecution, the Lord encouraged them, be faithful until death or until the end of your life. Remember that these things that you are going through, this will soon come to an end. And of course, for Pergamum, the Lord challenged them to repent. And the repentance that the Lord challenged the church in Pergamum was a repentance that should be done immediately. So the repentance must not be delayed. And this is the same thing that we should learn from the church of Pergamum, that when the Lord challenges us to repent, we should not delay the repentance that being asked from us. And then, of course, the call, we have seen this, that for all the three churches, this verse came out. And actually, up to the last church, we will see this. Because these letters are indeed for the believers. Because those who have ears, those who are truly His, will understand and will hear His message through those letters. And then for the consolation, all of those, bagamat magkakaiba po ang pagka-describe, all those consolation are geared towards eternal life. So you will not see the Lord promising anything that is temporal to any of the churches. All the promises given to them is for eternity. And for us, as a church, that should also encourage us that we should also look forward for the life that will come after our life here on earth. Okay? So that's the summary. That's not yet the end of the preaching. That's just the review. Okay, so we are now on our fourth stop. So we have already seen Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum. So today, we will be looking at Thyatira. And this is seen in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 up to verse 29. May I now ask you to please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to verse 29. So I'll be reading from the ESV. To the church in Thyatira, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the works of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into a great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule over them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the letter for Thyatira is the longest compared to the other six letters. And going through the letter, you have already seen what the Lord is about to address in the church. So let me entitle this message for today as Tolerating Sin, the Compromise to Holiness. Tolerating Sin, the Compromise to Holiness. So we have seen the church in Ephesus, that's the loveless church. We have seen the church in Smyrna, that's called the persecuted church. We have seen the church in Pergamum, the compromising church. And we now have the church in Thyatira, the tolerating church. So before we unpack the letter of the Lord Jesus Christ for this church, let's have a brief background of the church itself. So as we have seen earlier, Thyatira is somewhere in between Pergamum and Sardis. So it had been a Roman town for a few hundred years, and this city had history of conquerings, distractions, and rebuildings. Why? Because this city became a military garrison to sort of guard Pergamum. So whenever attacks will be done for Pergamum, Thyatira will be hit first. That's why they've been distracted several times. They had to reconstruct. They have to reconquer their city because of that. And in that city, they also became famous because of the dye production. So that's one of the main business that they have, producing dyes. And one famous dye that they produce in that area is the purple dye. They have a certain plant being used to produce this. And if you will go to the book of Acts, you will find there the lady named Lydia who was selling purple dye in Thyatira. And this lady Lydia was the first convert of Paul in Philippi. And it was believed that the Lord used Lydia because of her trade, selling the dye in Thyatira, to be able to spread also the gospel in Thyatira. And in that area, there were also some fortune-telling shrines. Okay? But unlike in Pergamum, it was really infested with temples of Satan. So here, there are a few fortune-telling shrines. There are also some temples in the area, and one of which is the temple of Apollo, which was known as the chief god. And Thyatira also is known as the perpetual sacrifice or Thyatira is defined as the perpetual sacrifice, which means that the definition of the city has the inclination to paganism. So, inclination to paganism. So, that's just a brief background with regard to the city of Thyatira. So, in that city, we find the actual church of Thyatira. So, now, let's look at the letter that the Lord gave this church. So verse 18, if you will go back to verse 18, the Lord once again introduces himself. And for the church in Thyatira, he introduces himself as the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. So we have seen in the last letters that every time the Lord uses a specific introduction to that church, there is a specific purpose for that character of the Lord. And this introduction of the Lord to this church will have, again, a specific purpose. But before we do that, you will also remember that all those introductions that the Lord used for the past three churches, the Lord actually mentioned them already as John penned them in chapter 1. And for this introduction for the church in Thyatira, we will see how the Lord described himself in chapter 1. Go now to chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. Let me read that to you. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. Okay, so we see how the Lord introduced for the church in Thyatira in chapter 2 can also be seen in chapter 1. However, if you will notice also, going back quickly to verse 13, I don't know if you have noticed that, and compare it to verse 18, there is a bit difference. Look at this. In chapter 1, verse 13, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. In chapter 2, verse 18, we now see the words of the Son of God. So there was a switch. Why? Because every time you see the phrase in the Bible, the Son of something, the Lord will always identify himself kung ano man po yung something connected to that Son of. So Son of Man, he is now showing his nature as the man. And we know that the Lord Jesus is the infinite God-man. He incarnated. So in chapter 1, when he mentions that he is the Son of Man, the issue being addressed here is the issue of humanness, which means the Lord is showing compassion, the Lord is showing care, and the Lord, we know, is interceding. And like in Hebrews 4:15, we have a high priest that understands our weaknesses. So the Lord, being the Son of Man, understand our weaknesses. But when we come to chapter 2, verse 18, there is now a switch. From the Son of Man, now the Lord introduces himself, the Son of God. Why? Because this time, he wants to emphasize his holiness, his transcendence, his deity, and his judgment. And this is the particular thing that he wants the church in Thyatira to hear from him. That he is the God who is holy, and he is the God who will judge them. That's why, Going back to how he introduced himself, his eyes were like a flame of fire, as seen in chapter 1, verse 14, and as we have seen also in chapter 2. So as the Lord now describes himself as having the eyes like a flame of fire, this means that he is having that divine X-ray vision, maybe, if you want to call it that way, or divine laser vision, meaning he can see even the deepest things in our hearts. The Lord sees down into the fatal flaws of the church. In other words, with that description, the Lord was sending them the message, I am the God who can see everything that you have. Even your deepest secrets, I know them. Even your flaws, I know them. And that's the same description of Christ in the Old Testament as seen in Daniel chapter 10, verse 6. And then, the Lord also introduced himself as someone who has feet like burnished bronze. So this time, the Lord wants to send this message that he is the God who is ready to trample out judgment. So yung una, I can see everything that you have, even the deepest secrets in your heart, even your flaws, even your sins. And the second part of his description, and I am the God who is ready to send forth judgment to you. And that's the same judgment that he has mentioned in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. So similar to Pergamum, the Lord introduces himself to the church in Thyatira in a way that is not pleasant. Unlike how he introduced himself to the church in Ephesus and how he introduced himself to the church in Smyrna. So medyo malakas po ang dating nung pagka-introduce ng Panginoon. And even without reading again the body of the letter, from the introduction of the Lord, we already know what's about to come. So if you're the one reading that letter, if you are the one who received that letter, you already know what's coming up next. Lord, you are the God who knows everything. And that is what you want to address in me. You see everything in me, and you are ready to judge what you see in me. So that's how the Lord introduced himself. But he commends the church still. He saw some things that are praiseworthy for this church. Go now to verse 19. So verse 19, once again, it starts with the phrase, I know. And for the previous three churches, we have seen this phrase. Every time the Lord commends the church, every time the Lord commends a church, he will always say, I know. And we have mentioned this before, that this is a declaration that he is the God who is omniscient and he is the God who is omnipresent. He knows all the affairs happening in all these churches. And what are the things he commended for this church? I know your works. Okay, so he started with that. I know your works. So the word work here means to work or to accomplish. So typically, this is a deed that carries out inner desire or intention or purpose. So in other words, the works that this church are doing, they always accomplish them. They don't only start, but they accomplish them. Okay? So hindi sila ningas kugon. Mag-uumpisa and then iwan. No. Every time they have a work in the church, they always have that desire to finish this. And their works were done out of love. And that's something praiseworthy for this church, that their works were done out of love, in which the church in Ephesus was missing. Okay? Then, the Lord also commended their love. The love that was used here is the word agape, and we know the meaning of this. It is sacrificial love. It is not an obligation. It is a love of choice. So meaning for this church, as they love their God, as they love others, the love that they express for God and others are sacrificial. They don't feel obligated in loving God and others. They choose to love God and to love others. And the love that they have in the church is approved by God and not by man. And again, this was one virtue that the church in Ephesus was missing. From there, the Lord commended them of their faith. Faith in what? Fidelity in the cause of the Redeemer. Also, their fidelity in service. So they have that faith for their Redeemer. They have faith for the service that they offer for others in behalf of Christ. And if you will take a contrast of this in Ephesus, again, this is something missing in the church in Ephesus. Then from there, what else was commended by the Lord? The Lord also commended their service. Service, which can be coming from the meaning of ministry or active service performed willingly. So they have that spirit of one anothering. They love to serve others. They have the service that is spirit-filled. And their service actually is guided by faith. In other words, whenever they serve others, this service is voluntary. They meet the needs of others voluntarily. So out of love, they volunteer to get out of their way to extend their help for others. So this church helped the needy voluntarily and with love. Another thing that the Lord praised them for is perseverance. Perseverance, their endurance, their steadfastness, or their steadfast endurance, which now springs from their faith. So this church was a patient church. They were so patient, they endure all the sorrows in life. They were patient of all that God brought upon them in any way. And they understood that these testings are to test the reality of their religion. Okay? For some commentators, they paired love and service. They paired faith and perseverance. They say that for this church, because of their love, this became evident in their service. And because of their faith, this became evident in their endurance or in their perseverance, which really makes sense. But the Lord, anyway, gave those items to be commended for them. And if you will put together their love, which became service to others, we can look at Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10, which says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints." So that's Hebrews 6:10. Now, if you will combine faith and perseverance, we can sum that up with Hebrews 11:27. And Hebrews 11:27 says, "By faith, he," referring to Abraham, "left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen." So, those are some of the things that the Lord commended them. But wait, there's more. What else did God, what else did Christ commend them for? Your latter works exceed the first. So look at this commendation by the Lord. After mentioning all those virtues, their works, their love, their service, their faith, their perseverance. Now the Lord tells them, all that you have done in the past, you have surpassed them. You have increased in your love. You have increased in your service. You have increased in your faith. You have increased in your perseverance. As a math teacher, I was reminded of the graph of a line. If you will graph these virtues for this church, the slope is positive. It means the line is going upward to the right. As time progresses, their virtues increases. Directly proportional. Praise God. So love, faith, service, perseverance were not their problem. These virtues were not their problem. In fact, they improve, they progressed. And the word that we should remember on this commendation of the Lord for them is progress. They did not become stagnant. Their service, their love, their faith, their perseverance, hindi po siya nag-plateau, kundi nag-increase. Nag-increase. Okay? So this church was an active, flourishing, busy, and growing church. However, the Lord rebukes them. Now comes the condemnation. Let's read verse 20 to verse 23. So after the commendation, once again, verse 20 starts with the word but. So we now see the contrast. We again see the shift. But I have this against you. Just reading again the first phrase, which we also have seen for the first and the third churches, will really strike our hearts. But I have this against you. The Lord Himself talking to them, but I have this against you. That you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Maybe we can stop there first. So I have divided for the portion of condemnation. I have given some sub-outlines here. And the first sub-outline is the confrontation. So I'm sticking with the letter C, the confrontation. The Lord confronts this church. And what word tells us that He confronts this church? The word tolerate. You tolerate this woman whom He calls herself Jezebel. Or whom He calls herself prophetess and teacher. So tolerate means you permit, you allow, you yield. Many scholars say that the woman in that church being mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ is not really named or was not really named Jezebel. But the Lord was using that name to make reference to the Jezebel that was mentioned in the Old Testament. But the Lord was so deliberate in using that name to point to them that this prophetess, this teacher that you have in your church, is very much the same as the Jezebel seen in the Old Testament. And who was Jezebel in the Old Testament? So I have listed down some characteristics of this Jezebel, which can be seen in 2 Kings. So for those who are still planning to have babies, please do not make the name of your baby Jezebel, as you hear the meaning of her name. So Jezebel was a notorious daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and Jezebel got married to Ahab, king of Israel, and that marriage, Jezebel became very influential to King Ahab. Influential especially for evil. Because it was Jezebel that influenced Ahab to set up Baal worship. That's how she influenced her husband. So talking about pagiging Andres de Saya, King Ahab was already an example of an Andres de Saya. So here, Jezebel was a very prominent wife. Literally, she was holding Ahab sa leeg. She was in control. And Jezebel represented all that is crafty, malicious, revengeful, and cruel. In fact, she was an idolater. As I have mentioned earlier, she influenced her husband to idolatry. She was highly gifted. But she used her giftings in a negative way. She was persuasive, she was artful, and she was very power hungry. That was one problem with Jezebel. Also, Jezebel was the instigator of persecution. And aside from persecution, when she influenced her husband for Baal worship, it was also Jezebel that brought in orgies in worshiping Baal, as you will see in 2 Kings. Remember, the priests of Baal were sexual perverts. They were wicked priests. And if you will read how the life of Jezebel ended, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 9, 33-37. Let's just go quickly to those verses. And let's see how her life ended. Jezebel tuloy. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 9, 33-37. He said, "Throw her down," meaning Jezebel. So they throw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled on her. So activate your imagination. Then he went in and ate and drank, and he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." But when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. When they came back and told him, he said, "This is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the territory of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say, 'This is Jezebel.'" What a horrible ending for Jezebel. And we will see that it was the Lord that ordained that type of death for Jezebel. So Jezebel in the Old Testament was a wicked woman, teaching of sexual immorality, teaching worship of idols. Going back to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the Lord used that name again, Jezebel. And in our passage, we will see there that Jezebel was mentioned as prophetess and teacher. Chapter 2, verse 20, Let's go through that again. Verse 20. "But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." So look at the description of Jezebel used by the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation and who Jezebel was in the Old Testament. Very the same. Jezebel taught false teachings and practice immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. But before that, she was introduced as a prophetess, as a teacher. What does that mean? She was a teacher in the church in Thyatira. She was a prophetess in the church in Thyatira. And looking at that section, still the Lord gave her the chance to repent. But Jezebel rejected. We'll go back to that later. So the first section, when the Lord confronted them, that they tolerated Jezebel from what? From the practice of sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. So the Lord was convicting them. The Lord was rebuking them. The Lord was confronting them. You are tolerating this woman named Jezebel who claims to be a prophetess, who claims to be a teacher. And guess what? The church allowed her to teach false teachings. How do we know that? She was a prophetess. She was a teacher. They had a woman pastor. In other words, they allowed her to teach false teachings. They listened to her. And the worst is, they obeyed her. They joined her. They did not deal with her. They did not discipline her. They did not kick her out of the church. Instead, allowed her. That's what the Lord was confronting them. You are tolerating Jezebel. You are allowing her to teach these false doctrines. And you are subscribing to her teachings. You are practicing what she's teaching. And that was a very heavy rebuke by the Lord to this church. But look at verse 21. In the middle of that confrontation, the Lord mentions, I gave her time to repent. So imagine this. In the middle of everything, still, God shows His mercy. God extends His mercy. But did Jezebel receive that offer from the Lord about repentance? The second part of 21 says, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Why? Because Jezebel had that hardened heart. She had that selfish ambitions. She had desire for power. She had desire for self-glory. Maybe Jezebel was thinking, I will be victorious. No one can beat me from this victory that I have now in my hands. But is that true? Will evil win over God? Let's look at the second part of verse 21. I have called that as the casting off. That was when Jezebel refused the offer of repentance. And then, verse 22 to 23a, the Lord now continues the rebuke to the church. So Jezebel was thinking that she was victorious, but the Lord now says this, behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am He who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Okay, let's go back to verse 22. You will see the word throw twice. So the Lord will cast. Jezebel wanted the bed of immorality, and the Lord gave her the sick bed. The Lord will throw her onto a sick bed, meaning the Lord will throw her into great tribulation, great punishment. And not only her, even to those who commit adultery with her, meaning those who were seduced by her doctrines into this sin, those who practice immorality, those who subscribe to her teachings, those who embrace her teachings and follows all the teachings that she gives. So the Lord will deal with this people, Jezebel and all those who were seduced by her doctrines. But then again, the last part of verse 22, you will once again see here the mercy of God unless they repent of her works. The Lord was already confronting them, and yet, twice we have seen in the middle of that confrontation, the Lord was offering forgiveness. If you repent, and like the repentance that was being offered to Pergamum, repentance here is an immediate action. Do not delay the repentance. And in verse 23, and I will strike her children dead. And once again, it's a continuation of the consequence of the sin. The Lord will strike her children to death, the children of Jezebel. Who are these children? Those who follow her, who follow her pattern, who follow her example, who embraces her doctrines. This is the consequence. They will have great tribulation, great suffering, maybe disease of the body, but more than the disease of the body, they will experience the torture of soul. That's the consequence. Why? Because God is holy. He will definitely deal with the sin of this church. And the confession now is given in verse 23b to 24. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. So after declaring the consequences, the Lord now tells them, these consequences will be shown to all the churches. For what reason? So that they will know. So that they will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. So we will now find here the reason why the Lord introduced himself as the one who has eyes like fire and feet like brass. Because he is the one who will search the hearts and the minds of all his churches. And he is the one who will give to each of them according to their works. So that's his strong message for the church in Thyatira. You have tolerated Jezebel. You have tolerated the practice of sexual immorality. You have tolerated the eating of sacrifice or eating of food sacrificed to idols, or you have embraced idolatry. Therefore, I will throw you onto a sickbed. I will throw you into great tribulation. I will strike you dead so that the churches, all the churches will know that I am the God whose eyes are like flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. But for verse 24, but to the rest of you, there is now comfort in this verse, but for the rest of you. So to whom is the Lord speaking now in verse 24? Those who are still faithful in the church in Thyatira. So it's not the whole church who subscribe to Jezebel, there were still some who were left faithful. And the Lord is now speaking to them in this verse. But to the rest of you, the Lord knows those who are truly His. But to you, but to the rest of you in Thyatira, He now describes the faithful who do not hold to this teaching, who do not subscribe, who do not follow, who do not obey the teachings of Jezebel. Those who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. So the doctrines that were being taught by Jezebel are described as the deep things of Satan. To you I say, I do not lay on you any burden. I do not lay on you any burden. Burden there is a weight that carries personal and eternal significance. So the Lord now will vindicate those who are truly His. The Lord will vindicate His faithful saints. So He now gives the challenge. Let's now go back to the main outline. And this is now the challenge in verse 25. Verse 25, let's read verse 25. Only hold fast what you have until I come. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold on. Hold this tightly on what you have. And if you will look at the phrase hold fast, in its original Greek, this is a command that is mandatory in action, and this must be completely done. This must be done decisively and immediately. So this was now the command of the Lord for the faithful believers or the faithful saints in Thyatira. Hold fast. But you have to do this immediately. You have to do this completely. You have to obey this immediately. And until when? Until I come. It's a long term. Be holding fast. Consistency is part of this holding fast. So the saints should hold fast to what? To their faith in God. They should hold fast in holy living. They should hold fast in obedient life. They should hold fast in blameless life. Again, what should they hold fast to? Hold fast to their faith in their God. Hold fast to holy living. Hold fast to obedient life. Hold fast to blameless life. And the consolation. Verse 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. So we will see that the Lord now is giving his promise of reward, the consolation. Like in the three previous churches, the Lord promised eternal life for all of them. And you will also see that even for this church, once again, the Lord promises to them the benefit of having eternal life. So first, verse 26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nation. So again, he's speaking here to the faithful saints in Thyatira. The Lord knows who are his. And he commanded in verse 29, or in the previous verse, verse 25, that they need to hold fast until he comes. So if they hold fast until he comes, they are the ones who will conquer. So the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, until I come, to him I will give authority over the nations. So the nations being mentioned here are the unbelieving Gentiles. And what is the authority that will be given here? The church will reign with Christ. The church will share with His millennial rule. Going back to Revelation 1:6, Revelation 1:6 tells that He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. Or we became, or this church, or the saints of this church, became the kingdom priest of Christ. Therefore, as kingdom priests of Christ, they will reign with Christ and they will share His millennial rule. So that is what the Lord was promising them, that He will give them the authority over the nation. Second, and He will rule over them, verse 27, with a rod iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as Myself have received authority from My Father. He will rule. So the word rule here comes from the original meaning to shepherd, caring for the flock, meaning to pastor. So for the saints in Thyatira, the faithful saints in Thyatira, they will become under shepherds. They will rule them, the unbelieving Gentiles, with rod of iron. What would that mean? What's the rod of iron? The rod of iron now is to beat off the attackers of the sheep. So if they are the shepherds, they are to protect the sheep, and they will protect this with the rod of iron. And how was that described? As when earthen pots are broken in pieces. And that authority that is given now to the church is the same authority that Christ Himself received from God. As Matthew 28:18 says, all authority has given to Me in heaven and on earth. So the same authority that was given to Him, He is now giving them also to the faithful saints of the church in Thyatira. And finally, another reward that they will receive is in verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. What is the morning star? Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. We will see there the clear description of who the morning star is. I, Jesus, have sent My angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David. I am the bright morning star. So Christ Himself is giving Himself as a reward for the faithful saints of the church in Thyatira. So Christ is giving them His kingdom. He's giving Himself to them, and they will receive the kingdom. They will receive the King. And finally, for the call, as we have read this in all the letters, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So once again, this has been explained in the past. The Lord knows who are His, and definitely they will hear His message. So for My children in the church in Thyatira, hear My message. And the word hear here, if you will again look at the Greek root of this, again, this demands an immediate action and an immediate completion of the action. In other words, for the church in Thyatira, as you hear this message, then obey, repent, hold fast. Those are the things that God reminded them. And in conclusion, I would like to use the outline as we go through the conclusion. So the first, as the Lord introduced Himself. So we now apply this to our lives. So remember, this letter is the message of the Lord for the church in Thyatira. But when I started with this series, I have mentioned that these are actual churches. The seven are actual churches in Asia Minor. modern Turkey, but the messages for those churches are also the messages for the churches now, including us. So how do we now apply this in our lives? The first one, the Lord describes himself as the one who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. In our lives, remember, the Lord sees everything in us. We cannot hide anything from him. There is no secret before our God. We can hide our deepest secret before other people. We can hide our deepest sins before our loved ones, before our church, but not before our God. He sees everything. And the second part of how he introduced himself to the church, he will bring judgment. He will bring judgment to his children. So, looking at that, same as the church in Pergamum, same as the church in Ephesus, they were called to repent. And that's the same thing that is being given to us as a message this morning. If we know there are things that still will not stand before the holiness of God, if there are things that we are tolerating in our lives, like what the church in Thyatira did with Jezebel, we cannot hide those things from God. He will judge those things. But like in the church in Thyatira, like for Jezebel, the Lord extended his grace. Repent. Repent. And like how the repentance was given as a challenge in the church in Pergamum, it requires an immediate action. Repentance should not be delayed. So if we will search our hearts right now, how long will we still delay repentance? I don't know what sin or sins the Lord may be revealing to you right now, but the Lord is challenging us to repent. Do not delay. Do it now. Hold fast. Hold fast. Be faithful. Be holy. Be blameless. That's the challenge that we have for this church, from the lesson of this church. And from the commendation, what can we learn from this? The Lord is gracious. He will commend the virtues that he sees in us, and we can exercise these virtues only by his grace. But let's not stop there. Like the church in Thyatira, may we progress in those virtues. In our walk, walk in holiness, walk in blamelessness, our love, our faith, our service, our patient endurance, let them increase. Let them progress so that the Lord will also tell to us, your latter works exceed the first. Dinaig yung ginagawa nyo ngayon sa dati nyo pang ginagawa. Huwag tayong maging bonsai Christian na hindi nagmamature. Okay? And I have already mentioned this from the introduction of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for the call, the Lord knows who are truly His. So when we hear this message, again, do not delay. Do not delay. If there is compromise in our lives, if we are tolerating sin in our lives, do not delay the repentance. And let's look forward to the reward that the Lord will give us. For those who will be conquerors, for those who will hold fast, He will give us authority over the nations. He will make us pastor over the nations. He will give us the morning star. He will give us Himself. He is the greatest reward that we will receive. Amen. So before we end, may I request everybody to please stand. We will be singing the last song that we have sung earlier, the song Holy, Holy, Holy. In the letter of the Lord Jesus for the church in Thyatira, one thing is evident, that God is a holy God. And because He is holy, He will not compromise His holiness to sin. That's the reason why He confronted the church in Thyatira, because they were tolerating false teaching, sexual immorality, worship of idols. And as we sing this last song, may we glorify the holiness of our God. And as we sing this, may we desire to embrace holiness, the holiness of God, into our lives. Adore our holy God. Thank you.
the God who is holy, pure, and righteous.
Our dear God, thank you for your message for us today. Thank you for the letter that you have given for the church in Thyatira. Thank you for the lessons that we have learned. Indeed, Lord, you are the God who is pure, holy, and righteous. And you will never compromise your holiness, even in your church. So we pray, Father, as a church, help us to guard our pulpit. Help us to guard the truth being declared and proclaimed in this church. Help us not to tolerate false teachings in this church. Grant us discernment. Grant us wisdom, Lord. Make us Bereans every time we listen to your teaching through this pulpit, Lord. And Father, as individuals, help us not to compromise in sin. Help us not to play around with sin in our lives. Lord, help us to take your holiness seriously in our lives. And Father, help us to repent. Help us to hold fast. And thank you, Lord, for the promise that you will give us the morning star. Thank you for eternity, something that we should look forward to, where we will spend our life with you until there's no end, Lord, in eternity. Thank you for that. And Father, I pray for this church. We pray for these people who came today. Bless them. As a new week unfolds, guard our walk, guard our hearts, guard our thoughts. Help us to be reminded that we are ambassadors of Christ. Wherever you have placed us, we are ambassadors of Christ. And Lord, as we give to your work in this church, guide our giving. May our giving come from joyful hearts. And we pray that you will multiply the giving that will be received today, that this will be used for the furtherance of your work in and through this church. Thank you for always providing the needs of this church. And Lord, as you dismiss us from this place, let your glory be seen in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. A blessed week ahead of us. God bless you, po.